Welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk, a segment of AUSA's Army Matters podcast. I am Muzinga Curry, Director of AUSA's Education and Programs Directorate, and I am joined with guest co-host, First Sergeant Retired, Steve Canonico, Assistant Director of Retired Soldiers, part of AUSA's Membership Department. Welcome, First Sergeant.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to today's podcast with special guest Ms. Barbara Guy, Director of Career Management Policy Office, DASA CP, ASA, MNRA. Welcome, Ms. Guy. Please provide a brief introduction to yourself and listening audience.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. Yes, I am currently the Director of Career Management Policy Office, DASA CP, ASA, MNRA, as of May 2020. Prior to this realignment of my position, I was the chief of the Career Program Proponency Division within AG1CP, the G1. And my responsibilities included oversight of policy implementation for 32 career programs, policy and operational oversight of the Army Career Development Program, formerly known as the Intern Program for Army, and also direct supervision of three career programs, CP10, Human Resources, CP50, Military Personnel Management, and CP51, General Administration and Management. It's my pleasure to join you today, and I look forward to our discussion.
Well, thank you, and hello, Ms. Guy. So I'm just going to jump into the questions because there have been a lot of discussions centering around Army talent management, and I would love it if you would provide an overview of the new program aimed to improve civilian talent.
Yes, very pleased to do so. Actually, there's a great initiative currently underway that expands the role of talent management and enhances the role also of career programs in providing that expansion. Army leadership has recognized that heretofore, the civilian talent management capability was severely restrained. It was restrained for several reasons. We have a career program structure that actually created 32 functional communities, which were, while effective in their own functional mission, were constrained in terms of providing an expansion of broadening and training and development across the Army civilian enterprise. Resources were also constrained because they were allocated in silos aligned to that functional congruence as well. So there were restraints in resourcing, restraints in training and development opportunities, and there was also a lack of engagement by career programs in the accession or retention capabilities of talent management. The new program seeks to provide a talent pipeline with improved breadth of development and training opportunities for the Army civilians across the Army enterprise. No longer the silo approach of I'm a comptroller, I'm manpower. Now you have the opportunity to expand that development. It also provides career program engagement in the recruitment and outreach to attract the best candidates for the different functional communities, database-driven talent assessment that will allow us to align talent with the requirement for that talent, and also provides the resources needed to actually operationalize all of the enhanced talent management measures. This is being done, first of all, by consolidating the 32 career programs into 11 career field families. By consolidating the career programs, it provides a more defined scope of intent by providing functional congruence within the family. For example, CP10, Human Resources, CP26, Manpower and Force Management, CP11 and Comptroller, CP28, EEO, those will all be combined into one career field family, which allows for breadth of development within those families of career programs, as opposed to one constrained approach.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Guy. And I am really happy to hear that the restraints are no more and that the rightful attention is being given towards Army civilians. And when you look at the United States Army, what is the percentage of Army civilian employees?
the percentage of Army employees is approximately about 70%. There are a total of 296,000 Army civilian employees currently that are all covered by career program management. So when we talk about career programs and the constructs of those functional communities, we're talking about the entire Army civilian workforce.
Wow, that is absolutely significant.
Ms. Guy, how many programs are currently under the new change that's about to happen?
There are currently 32 career programs that are being consolidated into 11 career field family designations. With the consolidation also is the establishment of an operational support cell that will take the operational responsibilities out of the career program office and consolidate them into an operational cell. For example, budget responsibilities, training, approval responsibilities, something as simple as DTS responsibilities. All of that will be consolidated into an operational support cell, which provides the opportunity for the career program offices to focus on workforce analysis and also assessments of their training and development needs. This new organization also being established will be all realigned under Headquarters Civilian Human Resources Agency, better known as CHARA. So currently the 32 career programs are dispersed throughout the Army in different organizational settings. For example, they're at TRADOC, they're at FORSCOM, different commands. But that is all being transformed now to consolidate all of them, all 32, within CHARA under the Army Civilian Career Management Agency, new acronym ACMA. And that agency will be the host for all 32 career programs. We'll also have the operational support cell there that provides all the operational support, as well as the command and control leadership, which will be by the director of CHARA, Ms. Carol Burke.
Wow, that's a lot of changes. So I know currently that there's 32. Under this new change and the consolidation, will there be a lower amount of career programs, or will it stay at the same amount of numbers?
Well, the career programs will consolidate into the career fields. The career programs, as they are known today, will not go away, but they will be consolidated into that career field construct. Leadership for those career programs will now transform from an individualized 32 SESs across the Army for every functional community, will transform into 11 SES leaders for each career field. To answer your question, it consolidates, but it does not eliminate the individual career program designation.
Ms. Guy, what was the reason for this change?
The reason for this change was that Army recognized that talent management for the civilian workforce had not been appropriately engaged or initiated. Army also recognized that the career program structure that was in place to train and develop the Army civilian workforce was not effectively resourced to assume any other responsibilities in alignment with talent development, which they would be the perfect conduits of. In response to that recognition, senior leadership, in publishing the Army People Strategy, discussed and mandated actually that enterprise level of talent management for the Army civilian workforce be implemented and that career program roles and responsibilities be expanded to assume that. The resulting effect of that published document is what you see now as the establishment of ACMA, the new organization, the consolidation of career programs into a more manageable construct versus 32 across the enterprise, now 11 field families, aligned resources to support the requirements of implementing this strategy have all gone into the plan to make this a reality.
A lot of thought went into this process, and I'm glad that Army civilians are getting taken care of in this situation. Ms. Guy, under the process with civilians, I know there's some platform where you could continue your education or develop yourself professionally throughout your career. Can you please explain that process and then how it falls under the talent management?
So currently the career programs and their role in training and development of the careerists across the Army enterprise is primarily endorsed by G357, the proponent for Army civilian training and leader development. Resources are provided through G357 to Army civilians for training and leader development. With the establishment of ACMA, the new Army Civilian Career Management Agency under CHARA, that role and responsibility is also being transferred from G357 to CHARA. And we'll be a part of this new organizational structure. The training and leader development opportunities will not only continue but expand. And the operational resources provided to support that will be enhanced by the career field organizational structure. Because now, rather than having a silo approach to training and leader development, as I mentioned before, for example, comptroller, I get trained in comptroller courses. Now, if you're within a career field that has, let's say, five other occupational functional communities within it, you could also opt to be trained in that. So I could be a comptroller and say, I'd like to take a few classes in manpower and documentation and EEO, and that would be available to you and resourced. So that is the win-win actually in the training and leader development opportunity category.
Yeah, you took those words right out of my mouth, win-win situation, because now everybody can come be multifunctional in different aspects of each career skill set.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it has been another factor in the development of this strategy was the fact that Army recognized that as senior leaders are developed and groomed, that is a capability that's needed. You need a multifunctional background. I mean, it's great to have technical knowledge and expertise in your field, but now in the current operating environment, it is better as senior leaders are developed to have a broader exposure to fertilize your career and give you a broader perspective.
Thanks for sharing that information. You have shared a lot of information today, and we definitely appreciate that. But is there anything else that you would like to share before we close today?
Well, I'd just like to reemphasize that this is actually a great initiative for the Army civilians. And for once, in addition to being a great initiative, it is also an investment in Army civilian talent management because it is improving the accession process, it's expanding the training and development opportunities, and it's also providing resources, dollars and manpower, to support the capabilities needed to make this happen. So a great initiative and much more to follow as we proceed in getting it done.
Ms. Guy, do you have an effective date? Do you know when this will actually take effect?
Well, the alignment of resources is effective 1 October 2020, so FY21. And the complete stand-up of the new organization, ACMA, in terms of realignment of resourcing and actual onboard staffing, is FY22.
Well, we truly, truly thank you for just taking some time to share with us, the association, more information about the Army talent management aspect, focusing on civilian talent. And we definitely understand the importance of looking at the total Army. So, Ms. Guy, I really appreciate you joining us, and I thank you for your continued service as an Army civilian. Listener, before we depart, I am happy to share a special message from the Blackjack Brigade. AUSA is so honored to have had the opportunity to partner with this brigade during their deployment to Europe over the past year. If you remember, we had an opportunity to sit down with key leaders from the brigade and record a podcast the summer of 2019, prior to their deployment. Then, throughout their deployment, the brigade provided us with continued updates of its unclassified missions and various happenings. Now that they have returned home, we will hear a brief update on how things are going, brought to us by Captain William Abraham.
Thank you guys for that. My name is Captain William Ibrahim. I'm the Brigade Civil Affairs Officer for 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division. Thank you guys for this. On behalf of 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, also known as the Blackjack Brigade, and our former Brigade Commander, Colonel Jeremy Wilson, and our new Brigade Commander, Colonel Ian Palmer, we deeply appreciate AUSA for allowing us to be a part of these podcasts over the past year to tell our story. AUSA organization has been very professional and patient with us throughout this process. There's been some rescheduling of some recording sessions, changing out of personnel, and some administrative adjustments. You all have been a pleasure to work with, particularly Lieutenant Colonel Eugene Irby, Major Bradley Cooper, who initially reached out to me to begin setting these up, Mrs. Dinga Curry, Miss Patty Barron, Miss Sharon Duncan, who came to Fort Hood for a short tour of the brigade and did the initial podcast recording with Colonel Wilson, Miss Yazzie, and Sergeant Major Shuler last September 2019. And lastly, a shout out to Miss Carrie Viral Heckies. But obviously, there's others who's helped out in support of the Institute of Land Warfare, AUSA. But the people I mentioned are the people I know that I've worked with on this year-long adoption project. So this deployment to Europe has been very insightful. We learned a lot during this deployment. Most of us got to go to Poland and Germany for most of this deployment and be part of a forward strategic force to deter Russian aggression in the region. And also we got the opportunity to train with some NATO allies. We were working on an average of 6 days a week. Some soldiers stayed in better living conditions than others. We did plenty of partner events with other militaries and the local communities. We were moving around Europe, trying to manage personnel and equipment, all the while our family and friends were back in the States awaiting our return. We had to deal with COVID and its restrictions. Overall, this was a mentally difficult deployment, but we persevered. There were no fatalities during this deployment. There were some who did get injured, but no one lost their life during this deployment. That was a great blessing for us as a unit. Looking forward, the brigade will get to take a collective deep breath, get to take some much-deserved leave and time off. We'll start getting filled with some new equipment. We'll transition personnel in and out, a lot of those, and then we'll start focusing on training again. So for me personally, I recently got selected for a company command, of which will be outside of 2nd Brigade and outside of 1st Cavalry Division. So me and my family are looking forward to that experience and the new challenges there. With that, again, I want to say thank you to AUSA on behalf of the Black Jacket Brigade. We appreciate this opportunity to tell our story during this deployment, and good luck on any future podcasts of either AUSA's Real Talk or Army Matters podcast. Thank you, guys.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hua.